League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
The following podcast is brought to you by BetDSI.com. The NFL and college seasons are heating up, so what are you doing on the sidelines? Get in the game with BetDSI. They've been paying winners for 20 years now, and with a reputation for great service and fast payouts, it's easy to know why BetDSI is the place to play, win, and get paid. Anytime, anywhere. BetDSI has every wager you could ever imagine, whether it's the NFL, college football, Major League Baseball, the NBA, UFC, esports, global sports. I mean, if it's happening, BetDSI is putting a line on it. You can even bet on politics and celebrities. Plus, you can bet live with BetDSI's live betting option. So stop hanging out on the sidelines and get started with BetDSI. You'll get some extra bang for your buck right now, too. BetDSI is offering you podcast listeners an extra 25% bonus, but only when you use the promo code WIN125. Don't leave your money on the table. Use promo code WIN125 and get the special podcast listener 125% bonus. Just visit BetDSI.com. That's BetDSI.com and use promo code WIN125. Don't stand on the sidelines. To win it, you have to be in it. Visit BetDSI.com right now. That's BetDSI.com. Promo code WIN125.
This is The Boss and the Gloss on SB Nation Radio.
And online at SBNationLive.com.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios in Houston, here's David Gao and Carla Dawson.
So one of the great things about doing a show on Monday night is we have Monday Night Football before us. It is the Seahawks leading the Vikings 3-0.
It's a barn burn.
Well, it's been a very low-scoring game. It's amazing. Suddenly the league is shifting to defense, right? When the Cowboys basically shut down that Saints offense and when the Bears did such a good job on the Rams offense yesterday, you sort of think, wait a minute, maybe the tide is turning. Could it be?
Could be. It could be their one-offs.
Well, there are, you know.
And it's early.
I will tell you, that Saints offense and that Rams offense are as exciting as any offenses I've seen in a long time. They really can do it. They're like the greatest show on turf.
No, right? They really are. I would add the Chiefs right in there with them.
Yeah, no doubt. Those are exceptional. But if a good defense comes and is well schemed and you have got a lot of great talents on the field, as the Cowboys do and as the Bears do, no doubt, with Mack and Floyd and others, a good defense can stop a good offense on the right day.
And a good defense can make an offense look good, their own offense look
That's
good.
Right.
Complimentary football is key.
Well, I mean, let's face it. Dak Prescott made several mistakes that could have led to a loss, but the Cowboys defense held that Philadelphia offense and kept the game intact until Dak and company and Amari could finally get things going.
And they were very fortunate to have referees that are Cowboy fans.
Well, there were some calls that were highly questionable. Really, the opening kickoff was the one that I looked at.
Really?
I didn't get that.
You are a Cowboy fan. Give me your honest.
Oh, my goodness. Jordan Lewis fumbled the ball, clearly. There was no mistake about that. And there were three Eagles players on top of the ball. I don't know who recovered it. I don't know how they recovered it.
But it was green.
But there were only three players there, and they were all Eagles. So the remarkable thing is that that was not overturned. I understand the play on the field, the call on the field gets precedent, has to be extraordinary to overturn it, et cetera, et cetera. That's a call that really should have gone for the Eagles.
No, it was really crazy. I even watched it in slow motion, which just shows you how much time I have on my hands. And I don't know how they missed it.
Yeah.
Now, but you know what Malcolm Jenkins says.
Well, I know. And later, Dallas Goedert had the play that they called him offensive interference. And frankly, that was a questionable call as well.
Right.
Crazy
right.
times. All right, when we come back, we're going to be joined by Cody Stutes. He's an NFL expert for SB Nation Radio. And we will ask
and college
him.
Football
expert. Oh, he knows everything.
I can't
Cody
wait.
Stutes. We'll talk college and pro football when we return on SB Nation Radio.
Birthdays, holidays, anniversaries, whatever the occasion is, Gifting Map has you covered. Visit GiftingMap.com for great gifts. That's GiftingMap.com, your map to great gifting.
Yeah.
This is The Boss and the Gloss on SB Nation Radio, live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios in Houston. Here's David Gao and Carla Dawson.
Okay, Carla, I was listening to the ad there. It was for giftingmap.com.
What are you kidding me?
They have a curated collection of fine gift items, and I'm thinking I'm going to buy a gift for you there. Jose, you will join me in this, won't you?
You want to go halvesies?
Let's go halvesies on a gift for Carla. It's hard to buy the woman who has everything a gift.
Glossy for the flossy.
Yeah, please. She wants the little glossy stuff. And that's, well, you can find that on Gifting Map. They've got lots of fine collection of jewelry, other attractive items for the woman in your life.
Are her shiny pants on Gifting Map?
No, those are exclusive
those
to her.
Those are exclusive custom, to Raider Nation.
Those black leather pants with silver stars. You cannot find those on giftingmap.com. All right, joining us now on SB Nation Radio is the mighty Cody Stutes. He's a all things football expert here for SB Nation Radio. Also writes for sportsmap.com here in Houston, Texas. Cody, welcome into the show.
I'm hurt that it took me so long to get the invite all the way back. Did you guys not like me last time?
I loved Cody Stutes.
We heard you kept turning us down, Cody.
Okay.
It's getting to be a bit embarrassing. I don't take rejection well.
It was a very busy schedule. We'll just call it a draw.
Fair,
on both
sides. It's a draw.
Well, it's because you've been doing something pretty fancy.
Oh,
Mr.
yes.
Heisman voter?
Yes, yes.
I think we need to hear this.
Well, it's come out. He's come out of the closet. We
rarefied
didn't know.
Air. Yes.
Cody is one of the people who vote for the Heisman Trophy.
I am.
Great role.
I am. It's one of the rare times that I get to be on equal footing as Herschel Walker and Bo Jackson.
Wow.
And all those other great, spectacular athletes that won the trophy. Because I think that's one of the coolest parts about it is the guys who won the trophy, they get a vote.
Yep.
They get a say in it, and I think that's what makes it one of the more special awards in all of sports.
Sure.
All of sports.
I am ever hopeful. I'm going to keep hope alive that someday my partner here, like Loss, will get a Heisman vote.
I will send some emails and some letters
and
see what I can get going.
All right, Cody. That's all I want for Christmas.
That's okay. All she
I'm
wants.
A cheap date. That'll be easy. Right.
Short time frame to get that done, but we'll see about
next Christmas.
Next year. We'll
Christmas 2020.
You can't find that on giftingmap.com. You'll have to go elsewhere for that one.
But can we ask you to divulge your vote?
Sure, absolutely, absolutely. So I went with Kyler Murray 1,
yep.
Tua Tagovailoa at 2, and then Dwayne Haskins at 3. And for those who don't know the voting, you only get 3 selections. The person you put first gets 3 points. The person you put second gets 2 points. The person you put third gets 1 point. And so that's why you see the results come out, and there's so many different names and how, you know, this guy had this many points and that many points. So you get a 3-2-1, you assign it. And so I went with Murray over Tua. But it was tough. I spend the Monday after championship Saturday. I usually spend about 1-2 hours combing through notes I've made throughout the year. One final look through the final ranking of a lot of the defenses that the teams played. If they're an offensive player, I don't want to talk down on the defensive players, but it's rare that there's one worthy of me taking the time to consider them. But it's a fun process, and I ended up with Murray. And that all comes down to, you know, Championship Saturday played a huge part in it. Tua struggles. If he finishes the game against Georgia, they probably don't defeat the Bulldogs in the SEC Championship, whereas
yep.
Murray was so dynamic against Texas. He was dynamic the first time against Texas, though he had the 2 turnovers that led to UT points and kind of was the difference maker in that game. That defense did him no favors. Tua plays with the best defense in the nation. The most talented defense in the nation. And so that was where some of the things came down. And then Dwayne Haskins, on any other year, is the Heisman Trophy
okay,
winner.
This is what I want to get to. Because I've looked, and I know it's clearly more than stats. Because stats, Kyler Murray and Dwayne Haskins are almost even, Steven. And Tua would be the third. I mean, as far as touchdowns, total yards, all of that. And I look at the SEC Championship game. And Tua's numbers at the half, 37 yards and 2 interceptions. I'm like, you've got to be kidding me. So I am so confused because I look at Kyler Murray and Dwayne Haskins have been called upon time and time again to bail out their leaky defenses all season long. And they have done it for the most part with the exception of Purdue with Ohio State. Why is Dwayne so far removed from Kyler and Tua?
That's a really interesting question. And I have to imagine that the disappointment with Ohio State season plays a little bit into it. Just not the juggernaut that a lot of people thought they were. And for whatever reason, when a Big Ten team doesn't play defense, they get a big bad knock on them, and they get a knock on their offense getting more opportunity. Where you expect that in the Big 12, right. So that's one of the things that is a big advantage for Kyler is people expect him to put up big numbers, and he doesn't get a knock for his defense giving him that opportunity. Whereas I wonder if people kind of thought about that with Dwayne Haskins. I mean, he broke a Drew Brees touchdown record that had stood since yes. Brees was at Purdue. I mean, that's a real – any other year – and I went back and I compared some of his stats to a lot of previous quarterback winner stats, and he would have blown away Lamar Jackson. He probably would have been in the conversation for the year Mariota won it. He'd have been finishing second and third in a lot of different Heisman years, and this guy's a clear third behind two other guys.
A distant third.
It was a really impressive year for quarterbacks, really impressive, especially those three guys.
We're talking to Cody Stutes. Let me ask you a different question about college football. So, no mystery, the top three, the fourth spot in the college football playoff. You had several teams contending, Oklahoma, Georgia, Ohio State. Were you happy with Oklahoma?
I would have been happy with any of them.
Yep.
At some point, when you lose has to matter. And how you lose has to matter.
Which time in the season.
Right. I understand that's not how the committee talks about the teams each week. But here's the big thing that people talk about. They say that the committee's supposed to pick the four best teams, and they are. That's in the guidelines that they themselves set out. But the thing that's important to realize is the guidelines state it's the four best teams as long as they are clear-cut the four best teams. Well, when there's not a clear-cut four best teams, okay, obviously Clemson and Alabama and Notre Dame are clear-cut. It's not clear-cut behind the other ones. Then they go into varying factors, strength of schedule, conference championships, non-conference schedules. They go into varying factors like that to decide who it is. And when you look at all those things, look, Georgia's going to have an amazing schedule, an amazing strength of schedule because of the conference they play in. And they played – I mean, you look at what Oklahoma played in non-conference. They play Army. That's not that impressive, but – the Black Knights did end up with a number next to their name ranked at the end of the year. UCLA was terrible, so that hurt their out of conference.
Yep.
And then they play 9 conference games. You know, not everybody Which plays nine
Hello,
conference
Notre
games.
Dame.
Right. Well, yeah, that
Don't
too.
Don't get me started there.
So at some point, those championships have to matter. They have to be in the conversation. And look, Georgia's a really good football team. If they were one of the four best teams in the country, they wouldn't have got smoked by LSU, and they wouldn't have blown a lead to Alabama. Yes, they
played the second time this year.
They played Alabama close. I understand that. But they also blew a huge lead, and then the backup quarterback who had not been playing, and I get it's Jalen Hurts and he's really good, but the backup quarterback who had not been playing came in and beat you after you blew a big lead, and you've got an impressive defense too. Like, that has to matter in the conversation. And so I was fine with Oklahoma, and I actually think Oklahoma presents a pretty nasty challenge for Alabama.
And I think what really put it over the edge for Oklahoma was that they can now say, so you've got the top three teams in Alabama, Clemson, and Notre Dame undefeated. And you can say with Oklahoma, they're not undefeated because of the loss to Texas, but you can say they beat every single team on their schedule because they were allowed in the Big 12 championship game to avenge the only loss that they had. So it's like, oh, man, that's going to be tough. Tough to overcome if you're Georgia or Ohio State.
I don't love the whole avenge a loss thing. You get it a lot in conference championship games. But that is something that for people of the BCS era, people of – you know, just the way they used to decide college football, that's something that people really care about is the avenge the loss. And obviously you mentioned that Oklahoma got that opportunity, and they did it in pretty good fashion.
We're talking to Cody Stutes, who's joined us here on the Boston The Gloss of SB Nation Radio. When we come back, we're going to shift gears. We're going to talk a little NFL, and I want to ask you if this recent run by the Giants gives Eli Manning another year in New York. When we return on SB Nation Radio.
Every day can't be hat day.
Take off your hat.
Stop worrying about your hairline today by visiting forhims.com/cheer. That's forhims.com/cheer. This is the Boss and the Gloss on SB Nation Radio. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios in Houston, here's David Gao and Carla Dawson.
Joining us now on SB Nation Radio, we've got Cody Stutes, and he's a writer for SportsMap.com here in Houston. He's also now our guest here on SB Nation Radio. So I want to ask
you. And a Heisman voter. I'm so impressed.
And he votes for the Heisman. That turned your head.
He's going to autograph my iPad before we leave here.
I think that might work. Okay, I want to ask you about the Giants, because they've now won 4 out of 5, and the lone loss they had during this run was a field goal loss to Philly. And they seem to be almost the team that everyone envisioned, a team built around Saquon Barkley, a team where Manning is a complementary piece. Do you think now with this run that they would consider bringing Eli Manning back and taking another run with the team they thought they had?
So they have to. I think they have to. You look at that division, and I know that the Cowboys look darn near unbeatable in the NFC East right now, and their defense is going to be built on a lot of young guys and be there for a while. And, you know, Philly's not that far off from the team they were last year, and they got a nice young quarterback. Washington's a disaster and will be a disaster for a couple of years now. But that's a division that just doesn't have repeat champions. The last time there was a repeat champion was Donovan McNabb and Andy Reid, and they haven't been there in a long time.
A long time.
A long time.
That's a blast from the past.
You have one of the best wide receivers in football. You now have one of the best running backs in football. And the Houston Texans saw it firsthand. There are still Sundays when Eli Manning can go out there and have a vintage Eli Manning game. Now, what I will say for the Giants is you're going to start Eli Manning to start the year next year. But if you don't have a high investment behind him, I'm talking about a legitimate first-round pick. Make it clear to Eli, you're our guy, and the kid's not taking your job. And then you tell the kid, you're learning from Eli. He's one of the best pros in the business. And when that is, when you're ready for that, be it the season is going off the rails and you want to make that change, or if Eli ever got hurt, you have that young asset ready. I'm fine with them going in with Eli Manning as the starting quarterback next year. They have to have a young guy behind him, though. Yep. They have to.
Of course, their record's now 5 wins, 8 losses. They may not pick in the top five this year now.
Yeah, they're in purgatory now with that record.
They're hurting their chances to get that top guy. There's going to be a few guys, not nearly like the class of this past year, but there should be a few guys that'll be interesting prospects to them. And, you know, you got to think about, would they chase a guy like a Teddy Bridgewater?
Yeah. That's exactly, I think, would be the best fit.
If he doesn't stick around in New Orleans, is it Teddy Bridgewater? Is it a trade for someone's backup? You know, Mullins out in San Francisco. That's a nice player. That's the third quarterback on their depth chart, and the top two guys are going to get healthy. And Kyle Shanahan loves guys that he's invested in. Garoppolo and Beathard are two of those guys. So could you maybe trade for him? You've got to have a backup plan if you're going to start the year with Eli. So I think they're going to give Eli a shot, but he's got to know his time's close to coming to an end in New York.
Okay, with the New York Football Giants, overreaction Monday, do we make anything of the fact that the Giants put up 40 points without OBJ on the field? Was he worth the contract he was given?
What a strange situation.
What are we doing here?
For him to not be on the injury report Friday, mysteriously he's downgraded Saturday, and they don't play Sunday, they put up 40 points. Now, their defense put him in great position because Washington was just a disaster on offense and will be for the foreseeable future, it seems, especially with Alex Smith's career in a little bit of flux. Mm-hmm. So that's a bit deceiving because the defense played so well, but the offense did put up points. They leaned on Saquon Barkley. Washington's falling
170
apart.
170 yards for Barkley.
And just can't stop anybody on the ground right now. So I'm wondering if they'd have put up 60 if Odell was on the field. He's worth it. He's one of the most dynamic players in football. He's one of the few wide receivers that actually changes the way opposing teams approach the Giants' offense. And with him and Saquon, we've yet to see both of those guys healthy and Eli be protected. And when you see that, that's going to be a scary thing for the NFL.
You know, my cause to pause with Odell Beckham Jr., he is a highlight reel. He is so incredibly talented. But what have you done? Have you won a playoff game for the Giants? You're boating in Miami. You don't show up. You know, what have you done besides giving me other highlight reels of, you know,
the low light reel.
The low light reel. Yeah, you know, being upset with the net, you know, urinating on a fire hydrant, whatever the stuff he does. So that's my question is, what has he done for the Giants?
You look at the offense. I mean, this past Sunday notwithstanding, they're one of the most, 2 years ago, they were one of the most dangerous offenses in football with him on the field. Then the thing falls apart for him. They go with Saquon Barkley. And then this past year, you've kind of seen it every now and then. He's still coming back from a major injury. And I would think 1 year removed from that, going into next season, he's already paid. He knows that the team is going to bounce back. They've shown a little bit of life lately. You should get a motivated and focused Odell Beckham. But he's like any other star wide receiver. Things aren't going the team's way. They're the first guys to start chirping. Those stars over the years, I mean, think about Terrell Owens. Think about Chad Ochocinco, Chad Johnson, however you want to say his name. Those guys were the first guys and the outspoken guys when things weren't going their way. The thing that I think is important about Odell is it's rarely throwing his teammates under the bus, which is what some of the previous star wide receivers like to do. I know that those guys like him because of his talent. Management has to make sure they keep liking him because of the guy he is, not just because he's good.
We're talking to Cody Stoops of SB Nation Radio. Let me ask you this, Cody. It's sort of interesting. A month ago, when I looked at the offense of the New Orleans Saints or the offense of the Rams, I thought they were almost unstoppable. Chiefs, I might put in that same category. And we're heading into the playoffs, and it's all about offense, 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 offense. Then the Cowboys shut down the Saints, and last night the Bears shut down the Rams. Do you see a playoff scenario where defenses actually win?
This is such a weird shift in the NFL because a few weeks ago, I was looking around and I was looking at some of these teams that were getting ready to fire their coach, going to hire some new guys. And I was thinking to myself, you can't hire a defensive coordinator as a head coach anymore. Like, these guys are just getting destroyed. And even at the college level, they're giving up so many points and there's just not a lot of defense being played. And so I was thinking, my goodness, the NFL is shifting this way. It's going to be offense, offense, offense. And the teams that are the best are the teams that get turnovers and third down stops. And then you see over the past couple of weeks just Herculean effort from various defenses, the Ravens being one of them. And you look at it and you're like, oh my goodness, defense is back.
The Colts yesterday.
The Colts yesterday.
Looked like the Chicago Bears defense. I was like, what the heck is going on?
Sure.
Here?
And you look at what happened. The AFC is the one to pay attention to because the Chiefs now have to go into the playoffs without a rushing attack that they trust.
Yep.
And in December, in January, it gets cold. It is harder for the quarterbacks to do their job. You have to run the football. You have to kill clock when you have a lead in the playoffs and not make mistakes. And that's what rushing attacks do, and that's what defense does in the playoffs. And then you look over at the NFC, Saints and Rams on the top, they're lucking out here. Dallas is really good. Dallas is a dome. New Orleans is a dome. L.A. is L.A., okay? Yep. And then you look at some of these other NFC teams, and even then, you can avoid all the cold weather all the way to Atlanta if you're the Rams and New Orleans. And it just, most quarterbacks who are elite inside or warm weather players struggle when it's cold. I know there are stats that say Peyton Manning didn't do it, but Manning's teams never looked right. They never looked like Peyton Manning's team when they played in that cold weather. And then even Tom Brady struggles a little bit in the cold weather. I know he's a little used to it because of New England. Think about a couple years ago. He went on the road, and it was a nasty weather situation in Denver. Next thing you know, the Broncos are ahead of the Super Bowl, and it's not the Patriots. You got to be able to run the football. You got to be able to play defense. And defensive coordinators got to be taking a deep sigh of relief with the Rams slowing down, the Chiefs slowing down a little bit, and even the Saints slowing down as well. Now, the keys for those teams are they're really good offenses, and they'll get you when they need to get you because they don't care about blowing teams out or anything like that in the playoffs. Just get us enough, and then we'll hand the ball to our running backs and get out of playoff games with wins.
Okay, question about Pittsburgh. Obviously, a horrific loss against Oakland yesterday. Can you count on Ben Roethlisberger? There's five turnovers in the last two games before Oakland. Can you ride his back as your franchise guy?
They're not making the playoffs.
I don't think so either.
They're falling apart before our eyes. Mike Tomlin's doing a horrible job keeping this thing together, and they're just falling apart. Ben Roethlisberger's fine, but doesn't go into the game yesterday. Into the game yesterday. That's a really weird decision. Roethlisberger has a little bit of diva in him with some of the ways he's talked about teammates in the past.
He throws them under the bus.
The ways he's talked about offensive coordinators, management, things like that. And you look at this team, dynamic on offense at times. They're going to get Connor back before the end of the year. But against New England and New Orleans in two of their next three, and Baltimore is nipping at their heels. Baltimore has I say San Diego, but they're the LA Chargers still. They have the LA Chargers as the lone playoff team left on their schedule. And when you look at all the tie-breaking scenarios, how the teams are stacking up in the AFC, really good chance Pittsburgh's not winning that division. And if they don't win that division, it seems like there's a really good chance they don't find themselves in the playoffs. And if they don't find themselves in the playoffs, I'm not saying that's a change at Mike Tomlin, but there's a lot of change that needs to happen, because one mess up late in the year with Mike Tomlin has turned into two games or three games or four games that the Steelers should have just blown teams out, and then they inexplicably just blow the game.
We got about 1 minute to go. I want to ask you about the Texans. How far do you think they can go in the playoffs?
I think the Texans can win the Super Bowl.
Really?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yes, but they've got to do it with a rushing attack and a pass rush, neither of which showed up against the Colts. The Browns and the Colts have exposed the Texans on how to slow them down and how to beat them. Deshaun Watson is still a young quarterback. He still makes too many mistakes. He makes mistakes that you can get over them in one or two plays in a regular season game. They'll cost you the game in the playoffs. You've got to slow down the Texans' rushing attack, and then you've just got to do enough to keep that pass rush off your quarterback. Mm-hmm. And even if you can't run the ball, you can get things going through the air on the Texans' defense, and you can score on them. The recipe's out there to beat the Texans, but when the Texans are running the football and they've unleashed those pass rushers, you can't run on them. And if the pass rushers are going, you can't pass on them, and they can beat you.
That's absolutely key. It's that secondary.
He is Cody Stoops. Cody, thank you so much for joining us here on SB Nation Radio.
Anytime. Thank you.
Birthdays, holidays, anniversaries, whatever the occasion is, Gifting Map has you covered. Visit giftingmap.com for great gifts. That's giftingmap.com, your map to great gifting.
What did you just say? What the hell?
It's time for He Said, She Said on The Boss and the Gloss.
Carly, I ask so little of you. I just want you to please think about O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs.
I promise you I will.
They're close, convenient, and known for guaranteed low prices, excellent customer service from professional parts people you can trust. Stop by your local O'Reilly Auto Parts today. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. All right, as Jose has set it up, we are now treated to the famous He Said, She Said segment. We will look at what sports luminaries said around the globe and offer our commentary on what went down this week. So this first one, we're going to go back to before the Eagles-Cowboys game. It was a little awkward. Someone was a little outspoken. The linebacker for the Eagles, Kamu Grigor-Hill, made some now regretful comments. He said the Cowboys would choke. Let's hear what he had to say.
I mean, look at Dallas' history. They always choke. So we'll go down there and make them choke.
So he said that before the game, and now he's got to eat those words. Not very insightful. Not a good thing to do, right?
That's poking the bear.
Poking the bear. Yeah, that's sort of bulletin
board material. And
you're
going into their house. But this is Kamu feeling himself with the Super Bowl trophy. The Larry O'Brien. He's got it this year.
Right.
Not playing like it, but he's got it. So I think that's where that comes from.
Look, and I understand bravado and I understand being outspoken, but it's a funny thing to say the Cowboys always choke. I mean, I wouldn't have said the Cowboys have historically developed a reputation as a choking team. And when you go back, Staubach was the guy who always brought them back in the fourth quarter. Tony Romo had great fourth quarter outings. So, and of course, with Aikman, they never even needed to come back in the fourth quarter. They were always so good. So I don't really know why choking would be the label he would try to apply to the Cowboys pregame.
Maybe he's thinking of their last 20-year playoff history.
Well, and look, Cowboys have not made it to the playoffs, but choking, I don't know. I don't feel like they've snatched defeat from the jaws of victory, that's been nature of the
that's
beast.
True.
But anyway, it was a lot of banter before the game. Clearly, he would regret it now. And so the Cowboys go on to win and take control of the NFC East. The second one, well, we're going to stay on this Eagles-Cowboys rivalry. This is now post-game. Malcolm Jenkins of the Eagles was very, very upset about the officiating at the game. And let's hear what Malcolm Jenkins had to say.
Looked like you guys had your offense on the field.
That was a pretty terrible call, to be honest. I mean, they reviewed it, and the explanation I got was that it wasn't a clear recovery. Although Kamu had the ball in his hand, and there was only, Eagles defenders on the ball in the replay. So whoever's watching that in New York should stay off the bottom.
And you could feel the ball come loose right away?
Yeah, I mean, it was a clear fumble. That wasn't even the close part. They said they didn't see a clear recovery. Again, you know, common sense, you saw Kamu come out with the ball, so I don't know. You know, obviously, they don't pay me to make calls like that, but I was, in hindsight, obviously a big play in the game.
So I have to take his side on this one. I think he made a great point. It's sort of funny he said Kamu came out with the ball. Kamu, of course, who said the Cowboys were choked.
I was just going to say.
Maybe the officials choked on that call.
Well, clearly, and you know, when you're in a tight game like that, I mean, it ended up 29-23 in overtime.
Yeah.
You know, those calls make a huge difference.
Well, it was the first play of the game. So on the one hand, you can say, oh, there was a whole lot of game, a lot of time left to go and get it right. But on the other hand, to get the recovery on the opening play of the game is a big tone setter when you're on the road facing the Cowboys. And frankly, I just don't see how the refs or the officials didn't overturn the call on the field. That was a fumble, and there were Eagles players all over that ball.
That's all you saw with green jerseys.
Mm-hmm.
Is he going to get fined for this? I feel like he should.
Well, I think say the officials were, quote, on the bottle or they need to stay off the bottle, I think that's a finable offense. He decided he was going to take the price for that.
So,
I mean, look at that. That's Malcolm Jenkins. Hopefully he's got enough money in the bank to pay that one.
So if I were to come up here one day and say, I think Mr. Gow's off the bottle, would I get in trouble?
Well, in this case, you probably...
I'd be the producer next week. I'm just going to tell you right now. No, I think we don't want that to happen.
Well, in this case, he'd probably be right. So it wouldn't be fair to me to,
it'd be fair
to fine him. Yeah, I mean, he has to speak the truth at some point, doesn't he? I'll stay off the bottle this week.
Thank you.
I'll makes my life concern. Easier if you do, boss. I'm just saying.
I understand.
Right, Jose? You got me here?
Yes, ma'am.
Whew.
All right. This one is near and dear to the heart of the Gloss, the Princes of Darkness of the Raiders. Ian Rappaport explains why the firing of Reggie McKenzie, the general manager of the Raiders, was something that we should have seen coming.
McKenzie out as GM of the Oakland Raiders. And of course, this is something that everyone knew was coming with John Gruden essentially building a separate scouting department in his own building with some of his guys, his own pro board, his own draft board. So much of what Gruden did was essentially to build a separate wing with his own scouting. So it really was only a matter of time before McKenzie was shown the door. It just was not expected to happen this quickly. But in fact, it did. Now the Raiders need a new general manager.
Well, your thoughts, it's not really a surprise. You were worried this was coming.
I was worried it was coming because I like Reggie McKenzie. I loved him as a player in Oakland, and I loved him in this job. And he was, you know, GM of the year in 2014 or 2016. But you know what? His record is 39-70 overall with a .350 win percentage. And he had a great draft in 2014. That was Khalil Mack. That was Derek Carr. That was right guard Gabe Jackson, defensive tackle Justin Ellis, not much after that. So you can't just hit a home run once. So I see that coming. I saw it coming. And I also understand that Gruden is doing exactly what Reggie McKenzie did and had the right to do when he took the job in 2012. Clean house. Bring in your people
right.
that are aligning with your way of thinking.
Right.
So
it is interesting what we heard from Chris Landry in the first mm-hmm. hour, that he envisions that the next general manager will not be a full-on experienced general manager to come in and play the traditional general manager role.
It may not even be called a GM.
And may not even be called a GM. That really, it will be much like Belichick is to New England, Gruden will be to the Raiders. That the final say will be Gruden's, but he will need somebody there whom he trusts to do the scouting, to do the rankings of players, to enable Gruden to be a good decision maker.
So, you know, credit Gruden for realizing that isn't his forte. He can do it, but he's better with show me what you got and I can tell you what I like out of it.
Well, and I think there's also the practical thing that if you're going to build a draft board that's deep for 7 rounds, I don't know that a head coach, with all the demands of being a head coach, and frankly, all the demands of figuring out your own current team and the re-signing of free agents.
How about the X's and O's of trying to win games?
I mean, there's a full schedule. Somebody right now has to be on the road running a scouting department, and that guy has to be somebody Gruden trusts. So when they all do sit down prior to the draft, there's a healthy ranking, a ranking that reflects the philosophy of John Gruden.
Yeah, very true.
All right, let's go to the biggest moment of the weekend. It was the Miami Miracle. Here is the sound of that play.
7 seconds left. Tannehill will throw it, and this will end it after the shovel, or will it? Miami running around, circling. Oh, look out! Gronkowski didn't have the angle! Touchdown! Kenyon Drake! A miracle!
So hearing that again, two things jumped out at me. One is at the beginning, he says 7 seconds. And I thought, oh my gosh, that's right. There were only 7 seconds to go about 70 yards. That's preposterous. And then the second thing is at one point he says the completion and that should end the game. And yet it did not.
And then he has to retract.
Right. He had to retract.
Yes, but what we do see is it was Santa Claus, you know, Christmas in December for Miami. Gronk as a tackler is a liability.
There's no
you
doubt.
You think?
That looked very, very uncomfortable to watch.
But when you do something gutsy like that, you have to take, you know, it's going to go one way or the other. And it went the other.
That was a dark day there for New England. All the stars went the wrong way. They all aligned for bad. But it is interesting now. The Dolphins climbed to 7-6, and that puts them squarely in the hunt for a wild card spot. Dolphins not out of it. That's a team about a month ago I might have said, no. With Tannehill's inconsistency and his injury history, the Dolphins are going nowhere. But 7-6, that was a big win. It puts them in the consideration for the wild card.
And it spoils the Patriots' opportunity to clinch the division.
Exactly.
Yeah. Patriots stand at 9-4.
Share the same record with the Houston Texans.
And they do share the same record. Of course, the top two teams will get byes. And look out west. We've got a big matchup coming up. It's the Chiefs 11-2. And the Chargers at 10-3 facing on Thursday night.
Oh, it's going to be nice.
That'll be a battle for the AFC West division. But it will be, that was a tough loss for the Patriots, for a team that would really like to angle themselves for one of the top two seeds and get a bye in the first round.
Well, and here, would you believe this if I told you that Ryan Tannehill is 4-0 versus New England at home?
I would not believe that.
You think it's April Fool's?
I think it's April Fool's.
It's a fact, Jack.
Amazing.
Can you believe it?
Amazing.
Crazy.
Little beach weather doesn't do much for the Patriots in December. Okay, next. LeBron did not want to respond. Remember, Kevin Durant made those statements about the toxic culture that tends to surround LeBron. You saw it in Cleveland. And
Miami.
Kevin Durant said he didn't know if he wanted to fit into a culture like that, a toxic culture. And let's hear what LeBron had to say in response to KD's comments.
I'm past the personal stage. Yeah, I can do whatever. I can have a huge workload. I can have a not so huge workload. It doesn't matter for me. But what's most important is, you know, seeing my teammates make huge shots in the fourth quarter. Jay Hart out of rhythm all game because of foul trouble. He makes two huge threes in the fourth quarter. Zoe makes a huge three on the left wing. You know, Kuz making the plays down the stretch as well. That's what's most important to me. I can care less about the narrative about me that. It doesn't matter. I'm stapled in this game, so it doesn't matter.
So interesting. He's really not addressing KD directly. What he's saying is, I love my teammates. What energizes me is to see my teammates do well. And parenthetically, he's saying, I don't create a toxic culture. Do you think KD's comments are fair?
They're 100% fair. And he's the only one that's brave enough to say it. Because for some reason, and really, I have to kind of blame the media, darn on us. They have, you know, LeBron might as well be Jesus. That's how he's treated. Like, you can criticize as an NBA player or as a member of the media. You can poke holes in any NBA player in the league except for the king, which he calls himself, LeBron. You can't. Right. For some reason, he's not able to. And what Kevin Durant said, I wouldn't have said it if I'm him, because I'm like, again, just like Camus, why would you poke the bear? Just don't go there.
Look, Kyrie Irving said it by his actions, right?
He
wanted
did.
Out, right? And then KD came and said it by words.
Because you look at when LeBron leaves a team, he goes, he's the player coach, he's the player manager, he's the player GM. He is everything. He wins championships because he is so talented. I mean, he is just a transcendent once-in-a-lifetime type of talent. But then when he leaves, it's a disaster.
Yeah.
And what these players are saying is what a nightmare it is to play with him. And I love him saying, what makes me happiest is seeing these young players, you know, hitting the big fourth quarter shots. He wants the ball in his hand for every big shot. And he can command that. He's that good.
He is so, the king.
But look at the rubble that he left in Cleveland. Yeah. Look what he left in Miami. I mean, it is a toxic environment to play. If you do not bow down to him for everything, and he is good enough that he can single-handedly, he can control the destiny of a franchise. He can. Good and bad. I think that's toxic. And Kevin Durant was brave enough to say it. And he's right. And it wasn't a personal attack on LeBron. It was the environment, because he is such a workhorse, and he expects that kind of dedication and fierceness and competitiveness. But you see, just like you alluded to, Kyrie is like, I'm out of there. Dwayne Wade, one of his best friends, he didn't last a half a season playing with him. It's, but they keep their mouth shut as much as possible. But
all right, fair enough.
But call me wrong if you've got another opinion. I want to hear it.
No, I'm not going to call you out on that one. I'm gonna stick with the gloss on this one. When we come back, we will wrap up the show. We will take a look at what we learned from the gloss during the past 2 hours on SB Nation Radio.
This is the Boss and the Gloss on SB Nation Radio, live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios in Houston. Here's David Gao and Carla Dawson.
All right, my favorite part of the show, we get to reflect on what we learned from Carla over the last 2 hours.
Good thing it's a short segment.
A short segment.
I love me some Cardi B. Thank you, Jose.
Anything for you.
Thank you.
First of all, you think Dwayne Haskins deserved more love in the Heisman vote?
100%. I hope he comes back. I want to see more of him in college.
You think the Houston Texans need to run the ball better than they did, particularly in the first half against the Colts?
Yes, I need that O-line to step up.
You think that Jeff Luhnow needs to get the Astros a starter if they let Keuchel and Morton walk?
100%, yes. And a good one. Not one to develop. Okay. One ready. Ready to go.
Yeah, the rest of the pieces are there. They really need to get that one nailed.
But they need one, because Lance McCullers is going to be out for the entire year with his Tommy John surgery, and they need a plug and play, a real reliable plug and play. They're going to have to pay for it.
Your USC Trojans hired Cliff Kingsbury, the former Texas Tech head coach, to be their offensive coordinator, and you like that hire.
It's showtime, baby. He's perfect for L.A. He's going to love the co-eds, and actually the program needs him. JT Daniel needs him. It's going to be nice.
All right. You see a good fit there.
I see a great fit. Okay. I really do. That air raid offense that he had at Tech, we could use that again at USC.
And then the great battle between LeBron and KD, the war of words, the toxic culture or the not toxic culture, you're going to side with KD.
I'm going to side with KD, and I'm going to give props to LeBron for how he responded. He didn't take it personal. This is why he's a great ambassador in the NBA.
All right, you've been listening to The Boss and the Gloss. Alex Gold coming up next, the gold standard here on SB Nation Radio.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting 3 matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and Leon starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Expecting heavy downpours all day today.
You're a builder. You build. It's literally in your job title.
Woo! Let's hit it.
A little rain isn't stopping you. Not today, not any day. Shouldn't your flashing tape be working through it all too? Only Frog Tape Pro Grade Flashing Tape's high-performance acrylic adhesive sticks, re-sticks, and stays stuck, even on the roughest surfaces in rain, snow, heat, and more. So you stay in control when it matters most. Show weather who's boss with Frog Tape Pro Grade Flashing Tape.